I appreciate the testimonies because the Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. And not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, I'll be continuing on that theme. That verse is actually very profound, very profound. But today we're going to be studying the work of the Spirit, and this week is going to be an overview. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And you can substitute for that word weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for. Did you know that? We think we know what we should pray for, but it's probably the wrong thing. That's what the scripture says. You know, we think, right now if I was to ask you what do you need, you'd probably come off with a long list of stuff, right? But the Bible says probably that's not what you really need. It says, for we know not what we should pray for. You know why? Because we can't see what's ahead of us. We can't see what's going to happen this week, what temptations are going to come into our life. But it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. Just for that reason alone, we should pray. If there wasn't any other reason, it's just to let the Spirit mediate for us. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in the upcoming month, this is some of the things we're going to cover. The work of the Spirit is a covering, And it's what allows us access and a relationship to God. Because God himself says, if you don't have his Spirit, right, you don't belong. So as we approach the throne and we get covered, we can come closer to him. It's not that, as I said Tuesday night, the grace of God hath what? Appeared unto all men. God does speak to people who are not even in the church, because that's how they become Christians, is the Spirit is actually speaking to them and inviting them. But to really get on a close basis, and in fact to be fully hit in his image, we need the Spirit. So the Spirit, the work of the Spirit is as a covering. Amen. As a covering. The second thing that the Spirit does, it is our intercessor. It mediates on our behalf. When we pray, the Spirit is actually mediating. That is praying for us the things that, as I said in the first scripture, that we think we know, but we don't. Because I really don't know what I faced this week. You know, I think I have it mapped out. I have a calendar. I have my work calendar. I've got this meeting here, this meeting there. Speak. But really, I don't know about the 2 a.m. call that I might get. I don't know about that. Or something may come up during the week. Last week, if I was to tell you what I had planned and how it happened, it went completely different. Amen. So the intercessor is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. The other thing that the Holy Spirit does, it leads us into all truth. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead us. That means there's many things that I understand now I didn't understand 20 years ago. And as a Christian, you should always be growing. Because it's dead things that don't move. Right? If you are a Christian, you should be growing. There should be trials that you faced 10 years ago that now don't look so big. They don't look as bad. I don't want to keep giving you my examples, but you know I have lots of them, of things that before would scare me to death. Even last year, as I told you, some of you don't know, got this bill from the state for $12,000. Yeah, it's only $12,000. What's that? You know, that's because I've had a bill from the IRS for $445,000. So, you know, once you face that $12,000, okay. Well, Lord, you just as you did with the lion and the bear, you're going to help me with this. And he did. He did. God is so awesome. He is so awesome. So the Holy Spirit, the part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, to lead us, the Bible says, into all truth. The other work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification. We've been through that last month of consecration. It separates you. It will speak to you. The Bible says you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way. Walk in it. I mean, all of us have known that. You know, we're about to do something we shouldn't. And that voice is speaking to us saying, you know, you shouldn't do that. Come on now. Is it I'm the only one? Confession is good for the soul. Amen. We're all flesh. All the perfect people stand up. There is none perfect. Amen. The Bible says we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short, right? We've all fallen. All of us need the grace of God. All of us. I need God's grace. Maybe more than you even. Maybe more than you because, but that is what the Holy Spirit is for, is to separate us. That's one of the work of the Holy, part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Separates us from the world. That means there's things that you can't do or shouldn't do. Places you shouldn't go, things you shouldn't get involved with. The Holy Spirit should give us power. That's the first thing that Jesus said that they should do. Go wait, go tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Now people think that's power to zap people. I don't like you, so call down fire from heaven. No, that's not what it's about. His disciples tried that, and Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of, right? It's not power to kill people. It's the power to save from sin. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power to deliver. It's the power to have miracles, yes, but that's not the only thing, because the devil can fabricate miracles too, can't he? Pharaoh's servants threw down their rod in the New Testament, and it became a snake too. That's a pretty good trick, isn't it? So it's not, don't look at the miracles. It's the power to live from sin. It's the power to be saved is the greatest miracle. Amen. Also, of course, it's what will quicken our mortal body. It's what enables us to be caught up. These are just some of the things that the work of the Holy Spirit carries. And of course, I won't finish this today, but this week it's just an overview. Starting next week, we'll go into more detail. Now, how is that different from the Old Testament? Didn't the Holy Spirit move in the Old Testament? So what's the difference? Why is the New Testament operation of the Spirit any different? Well, the key word is move. In the Old Testament, the Spirit moved upon, but was never permanently indwelling. Let me give you some examples. Samson, in Judges 13, 30, 24, and the woman bare a son, this is Samson's mother, and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. You see that? The Spirit of the Lord didn't move him all the time, but at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So when the Spirit moved upon him, he suddenly became supernatural. You know what that implies? We should be supernatural all the time. Because unlike Samson, we should have the Spirit permanently indwelling. But of course, if we don't respond to it, God is never going to take us over. He's never going to make us a robot, though I've prayed many times, Lord. Please make me a robot. Make me incapable of messing up. I would love that, but God says, no, that's not how I want love from you. I don't want to take you over. I want you to serve me from your heart. Amen. So we see in this case that the Spirit moved at times in the Old Testament on certain people that God chose. 2 Peter says that. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's look at another example in Judges, Gideon. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It wasn't permanently indwelling. It wasn't something that he had. For us now, if you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord doesn't come upon you. We always have the Spirit of God. It's a question of learning how to use it and being at the place where your temple is consecrated and where you are separated, where God can use you. But we see in the Old Testament that that was the example, that nobody had the Spirit of God permanently indwelling. It was not a permanent thing. But we see in the New Testament, and Tuesday night we read from Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, it says, speaks about the heroes of faith, and it says, these all died having not received the promise. What an astonishing verse. Mean Abraham died not having received the promise? Yes. Isaac died not having received. Jacob died. That's what it says in Hebrews. The Lord having a better thing. I wish I had put it in here now. The Bible says in Hebrews, the Lord having reserved a better thing. The better thing was the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling. Abraham spoke to God. Moses spoke to God, the Bible says, face to face. But yet, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews makes it plain, they died having not received the promise. The promise is what we have available today. Isn't that awesome? You know, we live so far below what we could be. Many of us live like Old Testament saints. The Spirit can only move upon us every now and then. Isn't that sad? My prayer, my real prayer, I don't want riches. I really don't. Though money answereth everything. But if I was given the chance, the Lord, give me just one thing I could ask for and he would do it. I would just want to have the Lord's will known in my life all the time. That's what I would want. For the Lord to just tell me, you know, it comes back to Lord, make me a robot. The Lord won't make me a robot. He won't make you a robot, but he wants you to serve him through love. See, in the Old Testament, it was only occasionally the Spirit of God moved upon them, right? It's only occasionally. We have the ability, if we make use of it, for the Holy Spirit to be permanently always empowering us. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. The promise was revealed in Acts 2:38. Obviously, all of us know that on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. Imagine all those people who died before the coming of our Savior died in faith, believing, but not having received the promise. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. He had just preached a very simple message. Who's heard great preaching? I mean, there's just been some. But look at the Acts chapter 2 message. It wasn't long, wasn't 2 hours. But there was a difference. When the Holy Spirit preaches, there's a difference. And when they heard it, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's as simple as that. Repent. Repent means to turn around, change direction. It's not crying. It's not weeping. That's right. Amen. It's a change. Because a lot of people cry and then don't change. See, this was fulfillment, and Peter quoted this. Peter quoted this. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And it goes on to say, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, right? And young men shall have dreams. Malcolm had a dream. Amen. Old men shall have visions. Amen. We see that fulfilled on the day. That was the promise. It says a better thing. Them waiting for a better. Aren't you glad you have the better thing? Aren't you glad? You know, that's why we live. We really, a lot of us, I'm going to confess, like Old Testament saints, every now and then the Holy Spirit moves upon us. And yet we have the ability, according to Scripture, to be empowered 24/7. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if we just let the Spirit flow through us 24/7? Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. Jesus in John 14:26, that's the famous chapter when he said, let not your heart be troubled. He goes on in verse 26 of John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What was his name? So the Holy Spirit is, that's right. Because he said, I will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring the words back to us. Have you ever been in a situation when a scripture just comes back to you? Amen. We should be able to have a scripture for every situation. That's what Jesus did. And that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring back to our remembrance the words. Maybe it's a sermon. Maybe it's a scripture. Amen. I'm smiling because something came to me, but I can't tell you yet. So you'll have to wait. Amen. Amen. Let's look in a little bit more detail what Jesus said about the work of the Spirit. John 16:7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come," and these next few verses are all mystery, and maybe I'll get to expound on it in the weeks to come. "And when he is come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin." So that's one work of the Holy Spirit, is to reprove the world of sin, "and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Does anyone remember the Bible study I taught upon the three Ks, the KKK? Right. We'll have to refresh. That's right. That's one of the words that's used there, krino, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. "I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." Someone who is filled with the Spirit and is listening to the Spirit will be guided to truth. That's what the word says. Maybe they don't have a full revelation yet of the baptism, but if they are listening to the Spirit, I believe they will be guided to all truth. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit speaks on behalf of either the Father or of us. It's the in go-between, so to speak. Amen. And I've taught that lesson shown in the Old Testament about the servant of Abraham. When he wanted his son to get married, he called for his chief servant. And the Bible, in the story in Genesis, I think it's 22 or 23, does not name the servant. He's the unnamed servant. In the whole story, we don't know his name, yet he speaks. He is sent to go and get the son, the bride. You know who the bride is? The church. The unnamed servant is sent from the Father, Abraham, to go get the bride. And we never know his name, because just as in this story, he will not speak of himself. We do find out his name later, but not in that story. He never says his name. And he is sent to go get the bride. Well, we find out his name later is, anyone remember? Eliezer, which means helper or comforter. The comforter, the helper, was sent to get the bride. That's one of the work, part of the work of the Holy Spirit, to get us ready. Amen. To get us ready to meet the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Now, how do you receive this gift? How do you receive this gift? Well, let's look. I'm going to show you four ways. The first way, God said, go wait. The first church had to wait because it was not given. Acts 1:14. So these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Jesus told them when he was about to ascend, but you go wait. Go tarry. And today, I don't know if they have it anymore, but they used to have tarrying services. Anyone? They used to have tarrying services where they pray with people all night for them to get the Holy Ghost. Well, actually, I'm not saying they shouldn't do that, but actually, we don't have to wait. It's just a simple matter of truly. When you're absolutely determined and you're saying, this is it, everybody I've seen filled, and I remember you, Sister Audrey, so may I pick on you? I think it was either Thursday night, or was it a Thursday or Tuesday night? No, she was here. You were here one night when you received the Holy Ghost. You don't remember?
Was it Sunday?
Okay. See, my memory is bad. But I know you were determined. And same thing with Brother Malcolm. It was when we had that outdoor service, and he was determined. And when you are determined, when you're not holding anything back, amen, because God doesn't share. Amen. He says he's a jealous God. But truly, we don't have to tarry. The next way is just through worship. Worship. Luke 24:52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuing the temple, praising and blessing God. By the laying on of hands, people received the Holy Ghost. In Acts 8, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Of course, that also takes that their heart has to be receptive. And simply, when they heard the word, Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, he hadn't even finished the sermon, but they had already seen an angel come and tell them, go send for Peter and he will tell you words that you will be saved. And so as soon as he started to speak, they already believed, and God did a miracle. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Faith comes by, and hearing by the word. So just by hearing the word of God, you can be filled. Now, one common sign is, of course, tongues. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Acts 10:45, and they of the circumcision which believe were astonished. They didn't believe or understand that this thing was not just for the Jews. And that's amazing, because the promise was given to Abraham, and he said to Abraham that through you all the nations of the earth will be what? He didn't say it was just through your seed. He said through you all the nations. And yet the Jews could not see it was not just for them. It says in verse 40, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. Magnify God. Now, some people say, and I've heard it said, you've got to, if you don't do things in Hebrew, you know, some people go to extreme with the baptism. You got to baptize in Yeshua. If you don't say Yeshua, then it's not a valid baptism. But here's the amazing thing. On the day of Pentecost, all the nations that were there, the Bible says they heard them speak the wonderful works of God, where? In their own tongue. The Holy Spirit made them speak other languages. So that means they were praising Jesus in Egyptian, in Parthian, in Latin, in Greek. And it was the Holy Spirit. If it was not valid, the Holy Spirit would only have them speak in Hebrew or Aramaic, but that was not the case. So people who take it to extremes need to go and look at that on the day of Pentecost. They heard them speak the wonderful works of God in all the different languages. Now, I've taught this before, but the reason that we need the Holy Spirit is because we lost it. When man was created, he was covered with the Spirit of God. But when sin brought the death of the covering, because God had told Adam and Eve, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? And they became naked. That covering went. That's the Bible said the eyes of them were open and they could no longer see that they were covered. They saw that they were naked. They had become just a body and soul. But because of God's mercy, as I taught Tuesday night, he gave a temporary covering, and we'll be continuing that. So why do we need a covering? Because we can only approach God with a covering. Every single creature that God has made has a covering. Isaiah chapter 6, right? Isaiah caught a vision of heaven. And he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Then he goes on to say he sees the seraphim. And they were naked? No. He said they had six wings. Four of the wings is just to cover themselves in God's presence. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. Because they needed a covering. God has given every creature he has created a covering so that they can have relationship with him. And it was the loss of that covering that separated us from God. It wasn't that God wanted to kick us out of the garden. We could not stay in his presence. John 1:18 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus came to bring back and to repair that breach. The Bible says that he hath made of one the division. He has healed the division, you know, through his flesh. He has broken down the middle wall of partition because we were separated from God because of sin. And I said that that spirit covering came when God breathed upon man in the garden. Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That's when that spirit covering was given. Not only did God breathe the soul or the spirit of man, but he also breathed a covering, which allowed Adam to come before God and talk to him, and Eve the same way. Amen. And because of that, we needed that second covering repaired because we had lost it. And we see in John chapter 20:22 that just before Jesus left, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Amen. He was redoing what he actually did in the garden. Because remember now in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." How do you get a word? Can you get a word without breathing? No. In the beginning was the Word. And a few weeks ago, I taught about the Aleph and the Tav. And I showed right in Genesis, when it says, "In the beginning, God," the next two letters, which are not translated, are the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending. It means that the Word was right there in the beginning. It's not translated, but if you go and look in the Hebrew, you'll see when it says the third word, "in the beginning, God," and right next to God, it's got the Hebrew letters Aleph and Tav, representing the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But you do not get a word unless you do what? That's what happened in Genesis. That was the Spirit that covered them. The Word of God covered them. And because of that, Jesus had to repeat it because we had lost that covering and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." In Luke 24:49, he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," these were the only people really commanded to tarry, to wait. "But wait in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." They were the only ones that were commanded to wait. Now, I said this is an overview, so we'll be going into a lot more detail and revealing some more things. The present purpose of the Holy Spirit, though, as I said in the very first verse, is to help us. That's why it's called the Comforter. Abraham sent his servant, the unnamed servant, who is Eleazar, which is the comforter, to go and get the bride ready to come to meet the bridegroom. Such a beautiful story. And I've taught before the place where they met. Anyone remember the place? Remember, what is this church named after? A well. Isaac met his wife when he was coming from a well. And it's a well that appeared several times in Scripture. It's called the Lahai Roi, the well. Anyone remember the name? The well of living water, Lahai Roi. So the beautiful story of how Isaac got his bride was through the circumstance of the comforter, the helper being sent to get her. And her family was saying, "Well, you know, you can't just get up and go. Why don't you stay and take?" And she said, "No, I will go." No, I won't delay. I will. She didn't want to delay, even though it was a surprise. She wasn't expecting him to show up and say, come and marry Isaac. But she was ready to go as soon as he said, will you go? And she said, yes. That's the key. The helper is there. Will we go? Will we say yes to the helper? Now, here's the other beautiful part of that. Jesus said when he arose, he gave what? Gifts to men. What did Eliezer bring? Gifts. Gifts. He gave gifts to the family. He gave gifts to Rebecca. He had brought all these gifts to bring. It's a beautiful story. But it represents the work of the Holy Spirit. Will give you a gift if you're willing to receive it. Most of us, I said, me included sometimes, we're living like Old Testament people. We only let the Holy Spirit move on us occasionally. Occasionally we get like Samson and we have the occasional miracle where we can get up and take away the gates of the city. But imagine if we were living that way all the time. Satan would be so scared of us. That was one of the messages, wasn't it? Those who were there, I think, I'm not sure it was Thursday night or Friday night, he was saying, I don't know where I heard it, maybe it wasn't there, but Satan should be afraid of us. He should be afraid of us because of who is in us. Who is in us? God. God with us, Emmanuel. But instead, we're afraid of him. And the Lord showed me something so beautiful. I'm busting out, trying not to tell you because I got to reserve it for a message because it's so good. It's so good. Amen. All right, let's move on. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It doesn't just mean sickness. It means our weakness. It means our faults. It means our failures. God already knows you're not perfect. He knows you can't come to him based on any good thing you have done. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there to help our weaknesses, to help the things that we fail at. You know, one of the things that stuck out in the message is, he said, you can accidentally fall down, but you have to intentionally get back up. Don't you think that's good? Think about that. Yes, we will fail God, but you need to decide you're going to get back up, come back to church, you're going to pray through, you're going to repent. We can accidentally mess up. Sometimes we deliberately mess up, but let's just not go there. Let's just say we accidentally mess up. But it takes intention, he said, to get up. You can't stay there. That's what the Holy Spirit there, it says, helpeth our infirmities when we pray. You got to put the truth. It helps us when we pray. Okay, it's not just helping you when you're just keeping on going the same. It says, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh in intercession for us. So when does the Spirit make an intercession for us? When we pray. That's when the work of the Spirit can help your infirmities. If you don't pray, then it implies you're not going to get much help. Right? It helpeth our infirmities when we pray, and especially when we pray in the Spirit. Maketh intercession. That is one of the works of the Spirit for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sister Johnny?
You know, it's something about when you fast and consecrate yourself, and I hadn't done it in a while, but I've been doing it, and it's continuing to want me to continue on doing it. But I realized, you know, that in the consecration and the fast, it's to take more out of yourself as to who you are, you know, the flesh. It is to crucify the flesh and take more of that out of you so that you can be closer to God. So I had a situation happen, and before I could even think to want to pray, I let my flesh take over. And I started to, this is how the devil do. He'll have you to speak to yourself, because I wasn't speaking it to anyone, but I was speaking it to myself. And then I realized I was having a conversation with the devil. I'm talking against someone else, but I'm having a conversation with the devil. And I realized, like, no, I can't be doing this. I got to stop this. I was like, Lord, please help me, you know, to get past this situation. And the minute I asked God to help me, God said, okay. He said, I'm going to help you. He said, don't you remember when you was in the world and you used to get mad? He said, you used to go right back and make friends with the very people who you was mad with. He said, well, now you're in the church. Why can't you do that to your brothers and sisters? Why can't you have a problem with them and go settle the problem instead of just sitting here moaning and groaning about something that's not going to change until you decide that you want it to change?
Amen.
And at that point, I realized, like, you know what? No, nothing is going to separate me or stop me from seeing Jesus. So I better humble myself and do what I need to do so I can make sure I see him when I get to heaven.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. My wife had me listening to and we soon have to stop, but my wife had me listening to a teaching by Brother Bernard, who is our superintendent. And the title of the teaching is Dealing with Difficult and Diverse People. And he was saying, you know, we have to be the mature Christian. We have to be the mature Christian. And what you said really struck me, because what he said was that, you know, he pastored a church in Dallas or in Austin and had about 1,000 people. So, you know, he probably had a lot of situations that are multiplied. I have situations, but he was saying he's had people come who have fallen out. They were married, they get divorced, but they're still in the same church. And he said, a lot of people don't even know that they're no longer married because of how he was able to handle the situation. He said, you have to be the mature Christian. Now, that doesn't mean you compromise truth, biblical truth, but, you know, the teaching was for pastors and how to handle difficult situations. And in this case, you're being the mature Christian. That's what you're doing. Sometimes you do have to talk to yourself. Don't talk to the devil, but you do have to talk to yourself. The Bible says David encouraged himself, right? His men had turned against him. Everybody was against him. There was no one going to say, come on, David, you can. No, he had to say to himself, okay, David, the Lord helped you before. He's going to help you. Sometimes you do have to let the Holy Spirit talk through you to yourself, so to speak. Amen. Amen. So the present purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help our infirmities, our weaknesses. Amen. But it is linked with when you pray. It just doesn't help you. You have to ask for it. You got to pray. Amen. Now, the great future purpose of the Holy Spirit, if you can stand with me, we won't finish this today, is in Romans 8:11. But if that spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. When you dwell somewhere, you're not camping, you're living there. See, in the Old Testament, the spirit moved. It was just passing through. But when it dwells, it means it's a permanent thing. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That means make alive this mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And that's the key. Amen. Amen. We had to cut this a little bit short because we started late because of the snow. But I hope that you will meditate upon this. We need, if you want anything you want to take away from today, is let's not be like Old Testament saints. That was good. And it's great when the spirit does move on you. But I want that anointing all the time. I know the devil will say, no, you can't have that all the time. I want it all the time. I want to be in the spirit all the time. So I don't say what I'm not supposed to say. That I do say what I am supposed to say. Amen. That I have the joy of the Lord all upon me all the time. You know, it sounds impossible. The devil says, that's not possible. That's not possible. Well, that's my goal. That's what I'm working towards. I want the joy of the Lord. I want the spirit. I want the anointing. I want every single choice that I make. Every morning I pray, Lord, I submit my dominion to you. You take my will. Now, during the day, sometimes I grab it back. But that's not my intention. I want to get to the place where I can go through the whole day and say, Lord, you had dominion. You had dominion over me. Because my choices are always bad. My flesh chooses the wrong thing. My mouth says the wrong thing. Amen. That's why you got to put on the whole armor of God. Get your head anointed. Amen. Get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let it take you the right place. Gird your loins with truth, having the breastplate of his righteousness and the shield of faith. And then when you're done that, the Bible says stand.
Stand.
That's what you got to do. Stand. And then you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the Holy Spirit again. That's what we got to do, saints. We got to get to let the work of the Spirit move through us. Amen. Amen. Although, you know, it's cold out there and you may be facing some things this week. If you can take away anything from this, don't be Old Testament. We need to be New Testament. We need to let the Holy Spirit move through us in a new way. Amen. Let's bow our heads at this time. Father, we thank you today for your goodness and your grace and your love. Lord, let your anointing continue. Oh, Father, we just thank you, hallelujah, for the Holy Spirit that has moved in our Sunday school. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke. Lord, we ask you to, Lord, be in our second service. Let your Holy Spirit move, hallelujah. Let it bind up the brokenhearted. Set at liberty those, oh God, who are bound in sin or in depression or doubt. We thank you right now for your greatness and your love in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Amen. Amen. We will start about 1:15, our second service. God bless you. We'll be getting ready to have the baptism after the second service.